1059 The Region, in partnership with RE/MAX Prime Properties, present On the Market, real estate advice that works for you. Have a real estate question? Call us at 416-335-1059. Tweet us at 1059 The Region or email us at info@1059theregion.com.
This is 105.9 The Region. I'm Tina Cortez with On the Market, York Region's exclusive radio real estate show. Our expert from RE/MAX Prime Properties is Asif Khan. Good morning, Asif.
Good morning, Tina.
Now, we've heard a great deal from our listeners about skyrocketing rent. Now there's a rent payment solution that earns rewards. Asif?
That's right, Tina. And joining us with the details is Checksy CEO and co-founder Liza Achleziani. Liza, welcome to On the Market.
Thank you so much for having me.
Liza, our listeners are probably wondering what Checksy is. Tell us a little bit about the platform and how it came about.
Absolutely. So at the very short of it, you know, we enable Canadians across the country to pay rent with their credit cards so they can finally earn, you know, that lucrative cash back or points on their largest expense. And on top of that, we enable them to self-report their payments to Equifax so they can continue building credit with that expense. One of the key things about the platform and one of the biggest theses we had is that we wanted to empower tenants without having to ask their landlord to sign up. And currently, we really sit in the middle of that payment, and we actually, you know, you pay us and we pay your landlord. And that's what really got this started, is the fact that I've been a renter in Canada myself for the last 12 years, and it's been very expensive, and it never really helped me financially. So I wanted to change that and wanted to help a lot of other Canadians like myself.
And that's what I wanted to ask you about. Could you tell us a little bit of more about that idea? How did it come to you?
So that's a great question, because I actually previously worked for another payments company called Square as their finance and strategy lead, and kind of oversaw the payments scaling here in Canada. And one of the things I realized is that a lot of these digital payments companies are going after areas of our spend where we already have a lot of convenience, like buying a coffee shop. You know, you've been able to pay with your card, whether it's a Square terminal or a Monero's terminal, yet your rent, which is, for me, my largest expense, and I think that's true for most of consumers, is one that's still paid via very antiquated payments like checks. And that's kind of what they got the idea going. I thought, hey, you're already earning a lot of these lucrative rewards on the rest of your spend. Why not rent? And why can't rent help you build your credit?
Mm-hmm. And that's a great point, because a lot of times when we have renters that are new to the country, they don't have any credit established. But if they can use this payment system to help them establish some credit, then it's a win-win, because it also helps them for their next rental, right?
That is exactly it. And I would even say for renters in Canada, as someone who, you know, I was an international student that came to Canada 12 years ago, like you've alluded to, as a newcomer, it was a challenge building credit. But as I continue to think about my credit profile today, unless you have multiple credit cards and lines of credit, which majority of renters just do not, having that extra reporting line showing to the future banks or to the future apartment landlords that you're paying your rent on time is very crucial. So we see the product be adopted across, you know, even existing Canadians with established credit scores who just want to continue making sure they're building on their future financial future.
When did you launch the platform, and what has it been like for a tech startup?
Yeah, so we actually went live with our product about a year ago today, and we've seen now 12 months of real data and real customers. We're now processing close to $100 million in rent payments truly across Canada. We have users across all the major provinces and even territories. And I think one of the amazing things for me as a founder has been being able to see the value that this product really brings to the end customers. We have customers earning $400 or $500 in rewards by paying their rent, or being able to fly multiple times overseas by paying their rent. And I think it's one of the products that's finally solving one of the biggest pain points we feel in the market, you know, the rising prices of homes and rising prices of rent, and I think it really resonated. So as a founder, as much as it's very difficult to build a tech startup, I think it's very difficult to build a startup, especially in the fintech space, because you're dealing with people's money. One of the most rewarding things is seeing our customers happy and seeing them drive true value from the product.
So, Lisa, how does it work? Does the landlord have to register with you? Does the renter have to register for you? Is there an extra fee to cover the processing charges? How does it all work?
Yes, absolutely. So it's actually all tenant-driven. Like I mentioned, we really wanted to make it simple for people to adopt. And the way that people sign up today is they go on our platform, they add their major debit or credit cards, and they're essentially providing information that we need for us to facilitate the landlord payment, which is the landlord name or the company name and the e-transfer email. And we facilitate that payment on their behalf every month after we charge their card and get the funds from them. And in terms of the fee, we have like two separate fees. If you want to pay with a credit card, it's 1.75%, and we have tons of users using 2, 3, 4% cashback cards to actually make a massive arbitrage on top of the payment that they're already making for rent, which is where that, you know, cashback or points rewards value comes in. But we also have newcomer consumers that are just using our cheap debit product, which is $5, and reporting the rent to credit bureaus so they can eventually qualify for that credit card that potentially gets them 3 or 4% cashback for their rent.
Lisa, you said that Chexy launched about a year ago. What have you heard from users about the platform?
I think the best thing of building this has been hearing the different use cases of how Chexy enables these people to say whether to be saved for their future, you know, purchases, or to be able to travel more. One of the, I think, best things we also have heard is the fact that we don't require a landlord to onboard. We see a lot more users trying this out, and most landlords actually prefer this to be used as well, because the payment is then automated versus, you know, if you are paying rent by e-transfer, you're writing or mailing a check, the user has to remember to do this, and the convenience aspect of digital payments also helps the landlord as well as the tenant. So the feedback largely has been positive, and you know, we're just getting started. I think we are scratching the surface of the whole opportunity of how we want to help renters in Canada, and I'm excited to build more on that.
So for our listeners that are intrigued by this process, they can just sign up on your platform, give you their landlord's e-transfer address, and you would take it from there. Where does the payment come from? Does it come from Chexy? Is there a way to send it from the actual user of your site?
So we currently process the payment, and the payment comes from Chexy. That said, we have custom memos, you know, how Interact Transfers have memos. The user has ability to set up the memo to anything they want, including their name, month, address, and so on and so forth, as well as customize their question and answer if their landlord doesn't have auto deposit. So if your landlord and you already have agreed on a question and answer, you could be using the same thing from Chexy. We're actually right now building a way for us to have e-transfers come directly from user accounts under Chexy from your names. So that's coming live later this year.
And for our listeners that want to find out more information or may even want to sign up for your site now, how do they do that?
Well, you go to chexy.co, which is chexy.co, and give us a try.
Awesome. Lisa, thanks so much for your time, and looking forward to playing with the platform and getting to know it more.
Thank you so much for having me.
After the break, the pros and cons of renting or owning a furnace or air conditioner. This is On the Market on 105.9 The Region. Stay with us.
Need to connect with Asif Khan from RE/MAX Prime Properties? Call him 416-985-KHAN. That's 416-985-5426. Or email asif@thehomeshop.ca. Now, back to On the Market on 105.9 The Region.
Welcome back to On the Market, York Region's radio real estate show. over to my co-host and our real estate expert, Asif Khan from RE/MAX Prime Properties, with today's next guest. Asif.
Thanks, Tina. Joining us is Ash from Fair Deal Heating and Air Conditioning. Ash, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Asif.
Ash, the spring weather is out and all of the door knockers are out trying to get people to rent furnaces or air conditioners. We were chatting offline and you were telling me that this may not be the best idea. Tell us why.
Absolutely. That's a great question, Asif. So basically renting overall cost at least 3 times more than owning, even if you factor the cost of potential breakdowns or repairs. But in certain cases, if the financial situation does not allow for upfront cost, it's better to take a loan from line of credit. Even then, you will come ahead of the rental program, which is designed to favor only and only the rental companies. Even when you sell a house nowadays, consumer has become smarter and well-informed. So many would want to buy a house with no rental equipment.
Now, we've heard that there are penalties and significant costs associated with buyouts of rental equipment of the homeowner, or if the homeowner sells the home. How much more would it be than buying a furnace or AC?
Absolutely. The penalties are significantly high, and they generally amount to 300% of the total cost of the equipment. For an example, for an average home of around 2,500 square feet, one can buy a very decent brand of furnace or AC for around $4,000. But if you had this equipment rented and want to buy out from the rental companies, the penalties often run north of $10,000. And not only it's about the penalties, it's also about the lien that these rental companies tend to put on the houses against the rental equipment.
And a lot of times the homeowners aren't even aware of these liens until a few days before the sale is closing, and the lawyer tells them, by the way, you need to pay off this amount, which they haven't factored in. The other thing, Ash, is there's a government rebates available for furnaces and air conditioners at certain periods of time. How do people take advantage of these, and what would these be?
Yes. So basically, you know, the cost of equipment and the rebates entirely depends upon several factors, like main thing is the efficiency, peer, size of the home, and most importantly, the complexity of the job. The rebates are available for the heat pumps, which for now has put on hold till on 5th of February, but we are expecting very soon to have a new program from Enbridge Gas Distribution. And these rebates were almost around $7,100 for the AC itself, which means the homeowner got their AC replaced with a high-efficiency heat pump for almost at no cost.
Well, that's good to know. Now, when is the best time to have, whether it's a furnace or an AC, replaced?
In my humble opinion, the best time to replace the furnace and AC is when you really need it. Hmm. Nonetheless, every equipment has a shelf life, and it's an established fact that AC or furnace generally lasts 15 to 18 years when they are maintained well. My suggestion is to replace a furnace proactively, especially if you see any abnormal signs of wear and tear, and change the AC reactively. Getting HVAC equipment off the season can give you an advantage of choosing the window, installation window as per your convenience, and maybe some possible discounts.
And now what I find confusing is, do I get a high efficiency, a mid efficiency, or is a base model fine? What are your suggestions on what the right type is for a certain home?
There is no one solution that fits all. Basically, the mid efficiency furnaces were banned back in 2010 due to their CO emission overall, and they were not very environmental friendly. And the best brand and the tier is the one that suits one's budget and requirements. Each and every model has something unique to offer. Lower-end brands are most budget-friendly, whereas mid-tier or higher-end furnaces and air conditioners have better quality cabinets, more advanced control boards, and an extremely quiet operation. So at the end of the day, it depends upon the consumer what he's looking for. If he's looking for a budget-friendly option or he wants something that is more reliable and of a quieter operations.
And what about in terms of maintenance? Do you recommend sort of an annual service call?
So, you know, I do recommend regular maintenance. It not only helps the equipment to perform optimally, but also helps to catch potential issues before it becomes big. Especially now, when the equipment comes with a 10-year parts warranty, I strongly suggest to call a professional once in a while to have it checked and replace the parts if you hear any abnormal sounds or any squeaky sounds or any leaks from where it should not be.
There's a lot of companies that sell aftermarket service plans for a furnace and even AC and fireplace. Do you recommend these service plans, or do you recommend going with the manufacturer warranty and maybe their service plans?
I personally do not believe in service plans unless you are one of those unlucky people who have very frequent AC or furnace breakdowns. Nowadays, all the new equipment comes with 10 years parts warranty. In general, most furnace and air conditioners run at least 5 years trouble-free. So if you take into account an overall average, a service plan costs $150 a year, which means in 5 years, a consumer ends paying $750 and $1,500 in 10 years. There is no repair that can cost so much in labor itself in first 10 years of the equipment ownership. So to me, it does not make a financial sense to buy a service plan from anyone.
So you talked about the service plan. What about typical warranties? How long are they?
All the furnaces and air conditioners nowadays are equipped with 10 years parts warranty. Labor warranty of 1 to 2 years is generally provided by the installer. And there is always an option to buy an extended labor warranty for as low as $230 for 5 years.
Great information. If our listeners want to connect with you for a quote on their equipment or maybe just to get an idea of what they should be purchasing for their home, how can they contact you?
Well, I can be reached. The best way to reach me is by text, phone, or WhatsApp for a quicker response. My number is 416-992-2333, and my email ID is fairdealheating@gmail.com. My website address is www.fairdealheating.com.
Fairdealheating.com. Thanks so much, Ash, and we look forward to speaking with you in the future.
When we come back, your real estate questions. This is On the Market on 105.9 The Region. Stay with us.
Need to connect with Asif Khan from RE/MAX Prime Properties? Call him 416-985-KHAN. That's 416-985-5426. Or email asif@thehomeshop.ca. Now, back to On the Market on 105.9 The Region.
Welcome back to On the Market. Time now for our listener questions, and we start with Ben in Thornhill. Made the difficult decision to move. Now what? How to list? How to prepare? Where do we start? Asif, what do you think?
Wow. You know, we're going through a lot of this with some of our clients right now because they have made that decision. They've decided that since the rates are going to be coming down, it's probably time to explore their options. And so now we're starting to get them prepared for not only where they're going to purchase, but also what they need to do to their home to get it ready to sell. And a lot of it starts with decluttering. I know we've talked about it a lot, but the more you can declutter, the better it is. People like to see open space, and it also helps you because you're going to be moving anyway. So it's good to start packing and putting it away either in a storage unit or in the basement or garage if there's room, and just start decluttering the house, making sure the walls have a fresh coat of paint. The lights are all, bulbs are all working and they're bright and makes the house show a lot larger when you've got a lot of light coming through, making sure the windows are clean. Curb appeal. Now that spring's around the corner, having that curb appeal, so having some flowers out or making sure the grass is trimmed and things like that are all going to play a huge role in how you set up your home for sale. On the flip side, you want to make sure that we're searching the right area, so you want to get pre-approved, you want to know what you can afford to purchase, and then we get the show on the road.
What about investing in the home as you're preparing to sell? Should we invest in having the home painted or maybe manage a few of those small renovations? Asif?
This is where an experienced realtor comes in, because they'll be able to guide you as to what you want to spend your money on. If you spend too much money, you may not get it out at the end. So you want to be careful. The realtor can go through and tell you what's cost effective, what he thinks or she thinks you should do. And a lot of times, a lot of the focus is on kitchens and bathrooms. So making sure that they're attractive and they're going to bring people in. The power areas of the home. So as they walk through the foyer, it's inviting. It's, you know, people are going to want to go through the rest of the house. And these are areas that the realtor can point out to you to say, this is where we should focus.
Now, this listener said they have made the difficult decision to move. Do you suggest that they buy before they sell as well?
Again, it depends on what area they're in. There's some areas where homes are selling really quickly, and you know that the buyers are out there looking. There's other areas that are a little bit quiet right now. So in those areas, you may want to sell first, whereas in the other areas, if it's a hotter market where you're going to be listing your home, you may want to buy first because you know your house is going to sell fast, but you don't know what you're going to get on the other side. So it really depends. It's an individual type of situation there where we can go in and give you what we feel is going to be the right move. There are some people that will absolutely want to sell first because they want to know exactly how much money they're going to have to be able to spend on a home. Other people will say, well, I'm looking for a particular house, and until I find that, I'm not listing mine because mine will sell very quickly. So it really depends on what your situation is, and then we'll guide you appropriately.
Our next question is from Steve in Woodbridge. He's heard the horror stories about landlords and tenants. Asif, do you think an investment property is worth the hassle? If so, how do you protect yourself?
It really depends on how much due diligence you do when you're bringing in tenants. You know, having the wrong tenant will really deflate you, and also it could cost you a lot of money at the end. We've heard so many of these stories. They're floating around social media, in the news, and they're real. It's actually happening. So you want to make sure you have the right tenant. There is a great opportunity for investors right now because we've seen the highest rents that we've ever seen in the Greater Toronto Area. So there is money to be made, especially as interest rates start to come down. And so is it a good opportunity? Yeah, it is a good opportunity, but it also depends on who you're bringing in as a tenant. If there's some professional tenants out there that can play the game and really take landlords for a ride. So again, depending on your realtor, to do the due diligence, to make sure you're doing all of the checks and make sure that you're interviewing clients, making sure you've checked references, job letters, anything that you can do to make sure that you've done your homework on that client is going to help you in the end.
Great tips there to mitigate the risk. But in terms of that professional tenant, what does that mean?
So we call people that are professional tenants. The reason we call them that is because they know how to play the game. So they know what they need to do to get into a property and then what they can take advantage of. They know how the landlord-tenant board works. They know how long it's taking right now. So you want to do your homework. You want to Google people. You want to look them up on Facebook. And you know, I wish there was a registry where professional tenants would be listed, because that would make our lives a lot easier and for a lot of the landlords too. But right now there's not. We're trying to get something where these people could get blacklisted and then you know to stay away from them. But by, you know, we've caught a couple of people through Google. And, you know, Google is your friend. Social media is your friend, because if someone's trying to be someone they're not and their social media or Google has some other stories about them, that's where they're going to get caught. So the more research you can do, the more due diligence you can do when selecting a tenant. You know, don't try to take the first tenant that comes across because you want someone in the property right away. Make sure that you're doing your due diligence and making sure you're getting the right person.
As a reminder, if you have questions for On the Market, hit send anytime to info@1059theregion.com. But Asif, if our listeners prefer to contact you directly, how can they do that?
They can always reach me at 416-985-5426.
If you missed any part of our show, go to 1059theregion.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and Audible. I'm Tina Cortez. Thank you for listening.
Need to connect with Asif Khan from RE/MAX Prime Properties? Call him 416-985-KHAN. That's 416-985-5426 or email asif@thehome.com.